and traumas, like I said, they're life-threatening situations. Yeah. You have to be quick to act, know what you know, and be able to carry it out when the person's bleeding out in front of you. It's like, same thing on the competition floor. It's like, we do CrossFit every day for hours, every single day. We know how to do CrossFit, but for whatever reason, 3, 2, 1, go, you get a little anxious, and it's like, no, like, I'm able to, like, I've been trained how to perform in high-stress situations. Yeah.
What is going on, fam? This week's guest on Uncharted Performance is the fittest nurse on earth, Jessica Griffith, out of St. Louis, who in 2017 made the CrossFit Games as a rookie individual competitor. We caught up with Jessica during the inaugural Cleveland Clinic Get Fit Healthy Living Expo, and we were just right outside the competition floor for the Rogue Fitness Winter Classic. So there will be a little background noise. We did our best job to cut that out, but apologies in advance. It will definitely not take away from the episode, I promise you that. We discussed in depth her role as a level one trauma nurse, what took for her to get there, and why she absolutely loves what she does, starting all the way back to what drew her to the field of medicine in the first place. We explore the carryover of over to training and competing in CrossFit, reconciling the two very demanding commitments and the challenges, as well as the opportunities that are presented to her by her unique schedule. We touch on last year's games and working towards this year's CrossFit Open, her training focus now, and how that will shift in the very near future. One thing that you will quickly notice if you're around Jessica is that she is very positive. She has a very positive attitude and a very bright smile. To find out exactly why, you'll find out in the episode. And last but not least, we're very excited about Jessica's project and collaboration with Barbell Medicine. To find out more, check out the show notes. I am your host, Paul Wenzel, and our goal, as always on Uncharted Performance, is to learn and apply from the best and brightest by dissecting and deconstructing their personal journeys and accumulated wealth of knowledge and experience to elevate our performance outside the confines of the gym. When you have a moment, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you're looking for new equipment and you would like to support the podcast, head over to unchartedperformance.com. And click that Rogue Fitness icon in the sidebar. And last but not least, whenever you're listening to the episode, please tag us on Instagram or Twitter. And with that, enjoy our conversation with Jessica. Take care, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here at the Cleveland Clinic Get Fit Healthy Living Expo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am here with the fittest nurse on earth.
Hello.
Jessica Griffith. How are you, ma'am?
I am great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is the first time Cleveland has tried to do or pull anything like this off. So being in the fitness space, I'm actually pretty excited.
Yeah, it's huge. You guys should see this place. It's this huge expo center. They're putting on a fitness expo, and we're doing a CrossFit competition in the middle of it. But this place is awesome. And there's a warrior obstacle course that I have to go try out before I leave.
Yeah, there's actually a ton of stuff that you can try out.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, and talking with the show organizers, this will be the first of many to come. So they're obviously hoping to grow it in future years. It is not like the Arnold. They're not trying to compete with the Arnold.
Right.
Arnold's kind of a beast in itself.
Is there a body figure show here this weekend? We were wondering.
I don't think there is.
We kind of wanted to enter just for now.
That'd be funny if you just kind of showed up and took first place.
It's fine.
But I think it's more.
I'm too pale for that right now. Did not get my spray tan.
Especially this time of year, right?
Yeah, no.
But I think it's intended more for the everyday athlete, right?
Yeah.
So there is a CrossFit competition, as just mentioned. So there is a lot of background noise, so I kind of apologize for that. First of all, thank you for stopping by and doing this.
Yeah.
And thank you to the organizers of having us and setting up a booth for us. When did you get in?
Last night. We flew out of St. Louis, Brooke Wells and I, and our two comrades. We flew here. We left at like 9 o'clock, St. Louis. Got here at midnight. I didn't get to bed till like 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
So, but it's fine. You know.
All right. And you got up.
I got up at 5:40. Well, I got up at 5. I couldn't sleep, and then I got out of bed at like 6:15. Got ready. Left by.
You look pretty awake. You seem
Thank
pretty
you.
Awake.
Thank you. So that's the nurse in me functioning on no sleep.
So we'll get into that.
That's been half the success of my CrossFit is learning how to function with no energy.
I could not do that if I don't get like 6.5, 7, yeah. 7.5
So that's
hours
how my boyfriend sleep. Is. If he doesn't get 8, he's not
Worthless.
Happy. Yeah. I'm like, I'm good with 2.
Are you going to be able to get out at all and see Cleveland?
Have
you
I guess we're going
before?
To dinner tonight. So I actually have family that lives in Cleveland. I should probably try to see them while I'm here. I don't know if that's going to happen. I figured if I just show up on the doorstep, you know, I don't know. So I've been to Cleveland a couple times. The people we're with wanted to go to the Cavs game tonight. I don't think that's going to happen. But sounds like Scott's got a nice dinner set up for okay. us. So I'm excited for that.
Any idea where you guys are going?
The Capital
Grill.
It's like State Grill, Capital okay. Grill. Something sounds governmental.
Okay. I think that might be downtown. Never been, but hope you have a
I
great
hear
time.
It's fantastic. Right.
Do you do events like this often where you actually are not competing and just kind of...
No, this is my first one. I was so excited. I get to come be a guest athlete. Super, super cool. I was awesome. So actually, it's kind of cool. My boyfriend's mom helped, was like the forerunner to put this on. They do a motorcycle show here every year. Her boyfriend builds custom motorcycles. Mm-hmm. So they come here. She got in touch with the girl who puts the events on here at the Sexpo Center and said, hey, this would be a great venue for a CrossFit competition. This was like 3 years ago. Fast forward, they got in touch with Scott Panchik, and he was saying he got involved and got CrossFit involved and got it approved to be this competition affiliated with CrossFit. So Tony's mom was just kind of like the bridge of communication between Lisa, the lady who puts the events on here, and Scott Panchik. So then when Tony realized the event was going on, she was like, just, you know, reach out, see if they would want you to come. So I reached out to Scott and said, hey, Brooke Wells and I were talking last weekend about your event. She's going, my boyfriend's mom's going to be there. Can I come, basically? Okay. And he was like, yeah, oh my God, we'd love to have you. So, yeah, it worked out really nice.
Oh,
and
perfect.
Great. Ben Smith, Alex Smith, Dan Bailey, Jen Smith, they're all here. So, super fun weekend. Great to be a part of it. Super fun.
How different is it watching versus competing?
So nice. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an anxious competitor.
Okay.
Being a nurse, I'm a trauma nurse. I deal with life-threatening situations on a daily basis. So, I've just learned how not to be anxious. And so competing, you know, it's stressful, but I'm okay competing. This is even more lax. So it's super nice being on this side of it. You know, I don't have a 3-2-1 go to respond to. And just hang out. Like I was in the warm-up area and some guy was like, can you help me with my butterfly pull-ups? And like, that was super cool. Like, I got, you know, just slap hands, high fives, good jobs. I'm not a coach by any means, but I can share the little knowledge that I do have at CrossFit with these people who are not as far into their career as I've gotten. So it's fun. It's nice to interact with people in the community.
How are the athletes doing on the floor?
Great. I mean, I have only watched a couple events. Okay. They've kept us pretty busy. What I've seen is, you know, I saw a couple guys on the ground, so they're giving it their all, which I like to see. If you're not on the ground, you're not trying. So
put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So it looks like they're having a good time. And, you know, it's the first year, so I'm excited to see how this event will grow. And okay. I hope it will be successful so we can do it in years to come.
Would you come back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
And that's another thing is I'm glad I'm able to be a part of it the first year because hopefully I would get an invitation to come back okay. and continue to do it for years
sure.
to come. So,
okay.
yeah.
Like you mentioned, you are from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been to St. Louis. What's fun to do with St. Louis? Because as an outsider, There's a lot of bad rap about St. Louis. I think it's similar to Cleveland, right?
Working in the ER downtown St. Louis, I will validate that statement 100%. It actually reminds me a lot of Boston. I'm from Rhode Island and have spent a lot of time. I had a lot of my friends go to school in Boston. Mm-hmm. St. Louis is cool because it's, you know, if you've ever been to Boston, it's got like the brick roads, the old buildings, mm-hmm. all brick buildings. St. Louis is a lot like that as well, except it just is not as busy. We have traffic, but not like Boston traffic. There's the St. Louis Arch. There's the St. Louis Zoo, which is free, which is awesome. Science Museum, Art Museum, 1,000,010 restaurants. We have the Cardinal Stadium. So yeah. There's 1,000,000 things. And then CrossFit. There's 1,000,000 CrossFit gyms. So if you ever come to St. Louis, we go to CrossFit Gambit. If you don't want to come to our gym, there's like 28,000,000 other gyms.
But if they want to come to CrossFit Gambit, let's say in relation to downtown St. Louis.
We're a mile from the Cardinal Stadium. You could park at the Cardinal Stadium and
walk over.
Or if you're going to the Cardinals game, park at the gym, get your workout in, and then walk to the stadium.
Got it. Very nice. Very nice. You are doing CrossFit Liftoff, if I'm not mistaken.
I did my lifts yesterday, and I'll do my workout on Monday.
How did it go?
Good. So I'll give you my numbers. I snatched 190, which I haven't. My max is 195, and I haven't snatched one. I haven't snatched that since before the games. So I was very. And we've even been on a snatching cycle right now, and
Before last year's games.
This 2017 games.
2017, yeah.
We've been on a snatch cycle, and I haven't been able to hit over 165. So for me to pull 190 that was awesome for me. Yeah. And then I clean and jerk 245, which my max is 247. I went for 250 and hardly missed. So I was very pleased with both of those.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
How is the liftoff different than, I guess, the regular season?
Like the open, I guess you could compare
regional,
it to? It's actually super cool because they're like, you have as many attempts as you want. You just have to get it done in the 4 days, which you also for the open, you can do that. But it's max lifting and I love heavy barbells. Mm-hmm. So that's super fun. It's not as taxing as an open workout. I think everybody dreads open workouts. So just maxing out on your lift is super fun. The only thing that is a little bit annoying is you hit your lift, you have to record your weight, take your shoes off, record your weights on your barbell, and then go, do your next lift. You know, you don't know if you're going to hit, if you hit 175, then record your body weight. You don't know if you're going to hit 180.
Okay.
You know, so it's like multiple takes of your, verification.
So logistically speaking, it can kind of be...
It's kind of annoying. Yeah. But I mean, it's fun. Like I said, I love heavy barbells. I will only do the workout once. And it's a 12-minute AMRAP. So I just figure kind of cruise through the whole thing.
Okay.
You don't want to get your heart rate too high or else you'll crash and burn. So.
And it's just like basically a weekend?
Yep. So it started on Thursday and we'll go till Monday, just like the open.
Does it put like a big dent in your programming or anything like that?
It is obviously so I have set programming every day. Then it's not, my coach didn't
program
put that into my program, incorporate
it. It can be taxing, especially with the nervous system.
But it's not close enough to season for me to worry about that quite yet. I think it's okay.
All right, cool.
My coach will probably be a little uneasy about it, but that's okay.
Right. Before we get to the typical question on how you got to CrossFit, how'd you become a nurse?
Ooh. All growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. I actually had my junior year in high school, my science teacher actually discouraged me from becoming a doctor. He said, you don't want to be a doctor. If you want a life and a family, the work schedule is not, you won't be able to have, it's hard to balance both. And now that looking back, I am so grateful for that conversation that we had. Even though in the moment I was like, that's kind of strange, but okay, I'll take your advice. So when I decided not to be a doctor, I thought about physical therapy, ended up breaking my hand shortly later. And I was like, physical therapy is way too boring for me. I'm way too.
How did you break your hand?
I was a cheerleader in high school.
Okay.
And we did cheerleading competitions and I was going to do my tumbling pass. And I don't know what happened. I did my tumbling pass and I think I landed on my head. Like, I totally crashed and burned, which was not like me at all. I always nailed my passes, but for whatever reason, I just did not hit this tumbling. It was like a round off back handspring full or something, and just crashed and burned on the back handspring. Broke my hand, still competed, and I was a base. So if you know anything about cheerleading, a base is the one who throws the girls up in the air.
Okay.
So I had to put my hands down, have the girl jump on top of my hands as I toss her into the air, which didn't. And then I went to the doctor after, got an x-ray, and realized that it was broken. So I was put in a cast the spring semester of my senior year of high school. And I was actually going to do an individual cheerleading competition, but I couldn't do it with a hard cast. So I actually took my cast off before it was supposed to be, before it was supposed to be taken off. My mom was so mad. And she immediately took me back to the doctor, put my cast on, and then did physical therapy after that, and realized, like, telling someone to open and close their hand is not what I am made to do. I'm not docking any physical therapist. It's just not for me.
Was this physical therapy in like a classical setting?
Just like an outpatient clinic, like, okay, physical therapy clinic. Yeah. So I'd go see someone a couple times a week. And then I actually don't remember, but somewhere between deciding not to be a physical therapist and going to college, August of 2009, I decided to pick up a nursing degree. So I have my bachelor's in health sciences and bachelor's in science of nursing.
What is it about the field that drew you to it?
What about it?
Nursing, like, why go into that field? What specifically?
So I love taking care of people. Okay. I thought I liked taking care of people, and I might be a little cold-hearted now. No, I love taking care of people. I find, people have asked me if I want to advance, get nurse practitioner, or med school, or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I like taking orders, and I like carrying those orders out.
Okay.
Tell me what to do. Give me a job. I will make sure it gets done and do it. Mm. Do a good job at that. I like that part of it. It's cool to, I started on a med-surg floor, which is just a, when a patient gets admitted to the hospital, they go up to the floor. That's, and I would be your nurse.
Okay.
It was fun to watch the people recover through their sickness. Mm. And, you know, just be a word of encouragement to someone. When someone's in the hospital, it's normal for me because I'm the nurse. I'm there 36 hours a week. Like, hospital is no big deal to me.
Yeah.
But for someone coming into the hospital, it's not a common activity that somebody does. And
for sure,
a lot of times they consider it their lowest point of their life.
Yeah.
And so you can be that little light, you know, in their day while they're in the hospital, and just, you know, give them words of encouragement, take care of them, take good care of them. And that was super fulfilling for me.
Okay.
And so that's when I actually found CrossFit after I graduated nursing school, because I went from studying 70 hours a week and working part-time to only working 36 hours a week. And I'm somebody that needs activity 24/7. And so my sister's boyfriend at the time was like, you should try CrossFit. I think you would like it. I'm like, okay. And my dad, right. Yeah. My dad was a bodybuilder. So I grew up like in his home gym and always active, was always going out of my way to go for a run, or just, I loved competition. And I was always like, I say, balls to the wall kind of personality. If I was doing something, I was all in. Like, cheerleading was my big sport. I wanted to be the best cheerleader in Rhode Island. Like, or if I was doing track, I wanted to be the best pole vaulter out there. I always had that competitive spirit. Now, whether or not I'm athletic is debatable to some people, but I liked to be the best. you know, my nursing career, I wanted to, you know, to get my bachelor's and, you know, get to the top tier of a nursing degree. And so I always had like that climbing the ladder mentality. So when I did find CrossFit, I had the genes from my dad, you know, his bodybuilding background. It just kind of latched onto me, and I latched onto it and went into the gym I think it was August of 2009, and just kind of took off with it from there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What?
No. August of 2013. Sorry.
Okay. What in your right mind possessed you to become an ER nurse?
So I did floor nursing for 2.5 years.
Okay.
Anyone who's been a floor nurse knows that sucks. frankly,
why does it suck?
So, like I said, those people, it's the lowest part of their life. They're in the hospital. They're stuck in a bed. The doctor only comes around maybe once a day just to assess the patient. People don't realize that when you're in the hospital, it's just a waiting game. They take your blood work in the morning. They see where it's at. They wait 24 hours. The doctor comes and says hi, make sure you look okay. And then they carry on their day. And then you got to wait till the next morning, take your blood work, see if it's trending up or down. And that sucks. Like for someone who's laying in a bed for, you know, 48 hours, you just go stir crazy. And then I'm the nurse stuck with them. So they get cranky and crabby and, you know, want to go home. And I have to convince them to stay. And any nurse who's listening knows exactly what I'm talking about.
So this is actually a great point. How do you deal with that? Because my wife, my beautiful wife, she's a PA.
Yeah.
And she has her own experience. How do you deal with that? How do you manage with other people's stress?
Yeah, you just learn to cope with different personalities. You know, and you'll like the running joke is if you don't, you're not a real nurse till you get fired from your patient. Like you're going to run into patients that hate you and want nothing to do with you, and you make them mad and they make you mad. And there's definitely personalities that you're not going to mesh with and you get fired, which has happened to me. But I've always done it with you kill them with kindness. You've got to be encouraging, make them feel like you care about what's going on in their life. It's a selfish kind of mindset when someone's in the hospital, like, you know, oh, woe me. And you just got to kind of feed into that and TLC and love on them. And just when they want their pain medicine, have it ready. You know, don't make them ask you. Just, you know what to expect. You know, you kind of get in your nursing rhythm.
Where do you get that from, that kindness?
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I love the Lord, and I feel like I have the joy of the Lord in my heart, and I love sharing that with people.
Okay.
Huge part of my life.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. I tend to do that.
No, that's okay. I like that question.
A lot of really good trainers start fitness businesses, and most of them are out of business within a year. Fact. Why? Being a good trainer, having equipment and a box are only a small part of having a successful fitness business. You have to tackle expenses, overhead, books, taxes, employees, and marketing, just to name a few. The Masters in Fitness Business podcast, hosted by Jim Adams, helps trainers climb the learning curve from trainer to business owner without making mistakes that will drive you out of business. You get to stand on the shoulders of giants as Jim interviews successful fitness business owners and discuss their mistakes and successes. Hosted by an actual fitness business owner who interviews actual fitness business owners. No fake internet gurus, only people in the trenches day in and day out doing the actual work to be successful. I wanted to share that experience with you. I am a bit of a podcast junkie myself. It's a great way to learn, especially when commuting, meal prepping, and even training, depending on what the day calls for. And I'm always excited to discover new channels. Once I heard about Jim's podcast, quickly listened to a few episodes, and I am now a proud subscriber. Don't wait. Definitely include the Masters in Fitness Business podcast in your library. And make sure to leave Jim a stellar rating and review. It is certainly well-deserved. For the link to Jim's podcast, make sure to check out the show notes of this episode at our website, unchartedperformance.com. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the rest of the show. Take care, guys.
And you just, like, if I can be a light in somebody's world, and then they, you know, they ask me that, why are you, you just seem like you're always happy and always glowing, and I'm like, because I got Jesus in me, and that's what he does to you, makes you happy.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, when I interrupted you, we're talking your transition to an ER nurse from
the
corner.
Oh, so.
To bring it
after,
back.
So, after 2.5 years, the first floor I started on was a gastrointestinal and urology floor. And then when I was about to leave that floor, we also, we were the floor that took any patient that was over 1,000 pounds. So obesity.
Okay.
And don't mind my language here, but I looked at my boss and I said, so you're telling me that I specialize in shit, piss, and fat people. And she laughs at me. She goes, yeah, Jesse, I guess you do. And I said, okay, Shannon, well, I think it's time for me to switch floors now. And she said, okay. So I went down to a neurology and orthopedics floor. So it was broken bones and stroke patients. I loved that. Ended up being the charge nurse on that floor for a little while. So I oversaw the floor and decided what nurses took what patients. And then I was going to start travel nursing, and the place I was going to go home to Rhode Island, because that's where I'm from, and I was in Missouri at the time. That plan fell through, and I was actually out of a job for a month and a half, and just kind of was like, I got ahead of myself, which I tend to do a lot. And so I told my boss I was leaving. When I told her I was leaving, 2 days later, you know, I quit my job. Then I decided I wasn't going to move to Rhode Island, and was like, well, I've already quit my job. I don't know what to do. So I sat myself down. I cried a lot, and then realized, nope, just take a time out. You've got some money saved. Take a month and a half. Figure out what you want to do. You know, get yourself together. So then I decided to, I was living at home at the time, and so decided to stay living at home. My mom was like, don't worry about it. You're fine. This is the time to make mistakes and figure things out. And so that's when I decided to go down to the ER at the hospital I was at. So I resigned essentially from my floor nursing job. And then 2 weeks later, I was knocking back on their door saying, I want a job. They're like, you just left. And I'm like, I know. So luckily they rehired me back into the ER. That was about a year and a half ago now.
You were CrossFitting the whole time.
I was CrossFitting the whole time.
Okay.
So, which is interesting. So, like I said, I was working 3 days a week, but I was working nights. So I was working 7 P to 7A, 3 days a week.
12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were usually three in a row, because if you work night shift, you kind of want to stay on your night shift, you know, with your circadian rhythm for the 3 days. So I would get off work at 7 in the morning. I would go to a Globo gym and lift from like 7 to 8 and then go to the CrossFit gym at 9 and take the 9 o'clock class. Did that for 2.5 years. And the guy, Jared Stevens, who owned the gym, he loved it. He loved my passion for CrossFit. He saw the potential that I had and really, really invested in me. And yeah, this was super, super cool. And I'm so appreciative of the foundation that he, you know, helped me build.
Okay.
So when I started in the ER, I tried 11 to 11. I'm like, I got to try something different this night shift. I think that was part of my getting ahead of myself and having kind of this breakdown. I was exhausted. I was working overnights and trying to train. I would be at the gym till noon after I'd been up all night. So I said, let's try 11A to 11P. I tried that. That didn't really work. So then I tried 3P to 3A. So I would train all morning, go to work at 3 in the afternoon, and then work all night. And that worked really, really well with my training. And then being a so the ER that I worked in is a trauma center.
Okay.
So there's different trauma levels. We were level one trauma, which is the highest level you can be. So we get like I've seen guys gunshot wounds to the face, like very life threatening, you know, diagnoses and poor outcomes. And so I loved that. I love the adrenaline. I love learning it. I love like seeing an open body and like I have to stick my hand in to, you know, close off arteries or whatever. It's amazing. Like the human body is so freaking cool. And now that I've been in this for a year and a half now, I'm like, okay, this is the kind of nursing I was made for, at least for now. I say that.
Do you still do it now?
I do. Yep. Okay. So I'm still a full-time nurse. I was living in Springfield, Missouri. I was a nurse in Springfield for almost 3 years. And then during all of that, Kelly Jackson came to our gym, CrossFit 417, to be on our team, and she competed with us at the games. and then decided that team was not for her anymore, and I was ready to go individual. So she moved home to St. Louis, and I followed her up there. This was this past 2017 season, and we both competed at regionals individually for 2017, and it was my rookie year, and I ended up qualifying for the games.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's awesome. Super, super awesome. And then so I also took a, you know, incorporating nursing, I took a travel nurse job up to St. Louis, because I was like, a travel nurse job, you can take 3-month assignments in a hospital that needs extra hands and extra nurses. So it's just like contract work. The hospital reaches out to an agency, and the agency calls me, says, hey, SLU needs a nurse for 3 months. So I sign a contract, and I was like, this is perfect, because I don't know if St. Louis is going to work out for me or not. So I'll go try it. It ended up working out, and I kept getting extensions on my contract. So I signed all the way through regionals and kept working. And then from regionals to the games, I just didn't sign any more contracts and took that time off to get ready for the games.
Gotcha. So, okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
This is an interesting point that you bring up, because I'm actually reading a book now on better sleep, how to improve your sleep. And one of the points that comes up several times over is shift workers and the associated health risks of being one. And you are also a competitive CrossFit athlete that's made it to the games multiple times over. How do you reconcile being a shift worker? I know you train, but how do you stay healthy, or as healthy as possible?
Well, I'm just going to throw this out there. It blows my mind, because doctors have the worst sleep schedules, and they're supposed to be the advocates for healthy habits, right? So that always gives me a little chuckle. As far as I go, my boyfriend, Tony, he is the biggest advocate for sleep. Like I said, he needs 8 hours a night. And so he's always on me. Like when I was working 3 to 3, he hated that, because he's like, you're not getting enough sleep. You're not getting your rest. You need your rest to recover. So I'm actually working 11 to 11 right now, partly because of him. You have to be selfish with your time. I literally work and do CrossFit. I moved away from my family, so I don't really have that distraction. So, you know, I work 11 to 11. I get home at midnight, and then I sleep at least until 8 in the morning. Sometimes that doesn't work, because I have to go to the gym before work.
Do you keep that? Do you try to keep that same schedule when you are not working?
I go to bed earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm never up till midnight anymore. I'll go to bed at like 9 o'clock.
No, so kind of quote unquote catching up on sleep. As best you can, right?
Yeah, it's nice. Working 11 to 11 has now, and because I don't have to be at the hospital until 11 o'clock, and I live right down the street, and the gym's right down the street, so my commute's all very close. It just works awesome, because I can get to the gym at 7 in the morning, go to work at 11, work till get home at midnight, go to bed, and then if I'm not working the next day, I can have a full night's sleep. Okay. So just being conscious of my schedule, my activities, and just making a genuine effort every single day to like make sure you get enough sleep. It's so important. I can't believe that I was only 21 years old, functioning, you know, working overnights and doing CrossFit full time. I attribute that to me only being 21 years old and being able to recover. Yeah. So now that I'm 26, I need my sleep.
I'll be young again. I'm 34 and I feel pretty old. What is your focus training wise now? Because the Open's right around the corner.
Right. So right now, what is my focus? So Andrew Essig does my programming. He's the owner of CrossFit Gambit. We call it Say in Training. Right now, I don't ask. That's why I have a programmer, which I totally appreciate. Okay. Like, he's in charge. And like I said, he tells me what to do. I carry it out. But it seems we're on an awesome lifting cycle. So we've gotten really, really strong. Now we're going to start weaning into the open workouts.
Gotcha.
We test a lot of open workouts, test a lot of main site workouts, compare scores. So just getting more into the Metcon. We've built our foundation. We've built our strength. And now we'll, you know, get our Metcons on and get ready for the Open.
What's the goal for 2018?
Qualify for the Games again. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see the region because in 2017 we had Sarah Sigmund's daughter and Stacey Tovar in our region. It sounds like Sarah's in California now and Tovar's retired, so that opens up two more spots. And then the girl who got seventh, Katie Trombetta, just had shoulder surgery, so that's, she was definitely a contender last year and for this upcoming year. It doesn't sound like she keeps tagging like games 2018 or 2019, so it doesn't sound like she's going to be competing this year. So it seems like it should be, you know, there's going to be some open spots and a little leeway from last year. So I'm like, if I was able to qualify last year, hopefully I can just carry that over into this year and go on to the games again.
Awesome.
It'd be amazing.
We'll be paying attention and
rooting
for you.
Yeah.
What's a bigger rush? Making the games, competing in the games, or working in the ER?
Ooh. The games was so rewarding because it was something that you worked so hard for. A level one trauma is exhilarating. Like the other night, I literally held a guy's heart in my hand. Like we cracked his chest, and then the doctors originally had their hands inside the guy's chest pumping his heart because it wasn't pumping on its own, and then he ended up passing away, and they let us look at the body, and we got to put our hands on the heart and, you know, also squeeze the heart and, you know, see what they were doing and how they were doing it. That was like an unbelievable experience. Two very different experiences.
Yeah.
One you're really proud of. The other is just like a really cool opportunity to reach your hands inside someone's body. So I guess I probably like qualifying for the games better.
Okay. Gotcha. Do you think you're a better competitor? Would you be as good of a competitor if you started, if you stayed as a floor nurse versus an ER nurse?
No.
Okay.
No way, because in traumas, like I said, they're life-threatening situations.
Yeah.
You have to be quick to act, know what you know, and be able to carry it out when the person's bleeding out in front of you. It's like same thing on the competition floor. It's like we do CrossFit every day for hours, every single day. We know how to do CrossFit, but for whatever reason, 3, 2, 1, go, you get a little anxious, and it's like, no, like I'm able to, like I've been trained how to perform in high-stress situations.
Yeah.
And it has 100% translated to CrossFit. It's like not once, you know, on a games workout was I like, oh my God, I can't handle this. It was always, I was calm. I was relaxed. I was able to, you know, do what I knew how to do and be okay with it, you know? So I love that about my job, that it translates directly.
Awesome. You just don't have time to do all this stuff, all the cool stuff you can do in St. Louis that we talked about.
Right. Yeah. I can't go. You know, I hear there's really cool bars and really cool clubs. I have no idea
because
that's just not what I do. Maybe one day. I love the lifestyle I live. You know, maybe some of the restaurants I'm missing out on. But
that was going to be my question. Do you feel like you're missing out on anything?
No, not at all. So through college, you know, I had my phase where I wanted to go out and I love dancing. I love clubs. I'm a typical girl. You know, having a couple drinks and putting on some dance moves is a great time, you know? But I don't really, you know, I'll have a glass of wine here and there. I wouldn't say I don't drink, but I just don't, because it doesn't better my training.
Yeah.
I'm focused on training. Drinking doesn't help my training. And it's actually, you know, I don't, if someone who does drink stops drinking, I think they realize how kind of dependent they become on drinking. And when you're in a social situation, you know, you depend on alcohol to kind of make you more fun and bubbly and have a better personality. More so since I started dating Tony, because he just doesn't like drinking. He does not drink, just for personal reasons. He doesn't like how it makes him feel. And so since I started dating including him, I have someone to hang out with and be sober. And I've learned, like, wow, like, I really like my sober self, and I can function in a social situation sober, and it's okay. And I get to get better at fitness in the meantime and achieve all these goals that I've been reaching for. I don't have to reach back and, you know, lean on the alcohol like I kind of did for a little while. You know, I wouldn't say I had a problem, but I was definitely one of those people who liked to enhance my personality through alcohol, you know? So it's a fun lifestyle. I'm a LaCroix drinker all the way. Give me essence, a LaCroix. Key lime. Good to go.
No, and I can attest to that. I'm not going to bore the listeners and audience, but I did have actually problems with alcohol and substance abuse in the past. And I was just trying to fill something with that.
Right. And it's tough. And, you know, you don't, it like creeps in. It's deceitful. And when you try to stop, it's like you realize how dependent you were on it. And it's scary, you know? I encourage anybody out there, it's like, just try it. You know, love yourself. Like, be okay with just who you are as you. You know, you don't need a substance to
for sure
to be amazing. You know?
Thank you. And maybe people will listen more to you than they do to me. So thank you for saying that. We're going to start winding down.
Okay.
Last couple questions. Barbell medicine.
Yep.
That's something more recent, right?
Yes.
Can you just explain to me and anybody that might be listening?
Yeah. So
there's thousands of people all over the world that are listening.
Jordan Feigenbaum is this Jewish doctor weightlifter who is the brainiac, like his brain. I would love to see the brain activity that goes on inside his head. He is the most stimulating person I have ever met in my life. He is the founder of Barbell Medicine. So he's a doctor. When he was in med school, they called him Dr. Gaines because he's huge and can lift the world. Weightlifting is his forte. I actually ended up meeting him in an airport. We were on the same flight, and come to find out, he did the nutrition at the time for Jared Stevens and Brooke Entz and a couple other athletes. Okay. And he was giving me crap for my Nobles, and I was getting stopped for my supplements by security. And he had his weightlifting belt. So he sat down, started talking to me. We made this connection. Come to find out, he's this awesome guy. He ended up doing my nutrition for the 2017 season. I was incredibly pleased with the results. We count macros. And so he's got this barbell medicine company on the side that sells supplements. He's got a pre-post workout and a whey protein. And so after working with him with my nutrition for the last year, he came to St. Louis. He's actually from St. Louis too, which is ironic. He's currently living in California. He came to St. Louis. We went out, sat down, kind of talked about barbell medicine. And he's like, I love that you're the fittest nurse in the planet. And I was like, well, thank you. That's very kind. And I was like, well, like, do you have any ideas? Like, I know you're a guy of ideas and your brain goes a million miles an hour. You know, do you think I should do something with this? And he was like, 100%. He's like, you've got a platform. It's a cool platform. Like, you can be an advocate for nurses and healthcare workers all around. I said, you're a doctor. I'm a nurse. Let's team up and play doctor nurse and, you know, promote health and wellness for people. And he was like, I love it. So I joined his team at Barbell Medicine. We do online nutrition programming and coaching, which is so much fun. Anybody looking for a coach, please call me because I love doing it. Like helping somebody who wants to help themselves is so much fun. And then, you know, we give advice on supplements and we don't push this, you know, the Barbell Medicine supplements, but Jordan's biased and thinks he's got the best product, of course, because he created it. And it's all backed up by his super nerdy science research. So they're fantastic products. I've been taking them for the last 2 months and have seen awesome results already. So yeah, it's a great, great corporation. And he just sold his products to Whole Foods.
Oh,
so they're
going
to be in Whole Foods. Yeah.
Nice.
So
congrats.
Super cool. Thank you.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
So if people do want to reach out to you, what's the best way to contact you?
DM me on Instagram, Jessica R. Griffith. If you're interested in looking up the products, I've got the Barbell Medicine tab and it's the link in my bio. But DM or you can email me. My email tab is on my Instagram.
Okay,
so
awesome.
I see that all the time.
And we'll obviously link all that up in the show notes.
Cool.
What is next? Once you get out of Cleveland.
Wadapalooza. Ooh, I can't wait. I'm going to do Wadapalooza with Brooke Wells and Tori Dyson.
Okay.
And then after that will be the Open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, Jess, thank you so much
for stopping by. Yeah, thanks for having
me. Had a blast.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy the rest of your Cleveland experience.
Thank you.
Had a great time. Thank
you. Yeah, thanks.
Another amazing episode in the books, fam. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you are new to the show, don't be afraid to check out other episodes. And if you dig the content, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you ever have any questions, feedback, or you just want to hit us up, please don't hesitate. Email address is contact@unchartedperformance, or you can hit me up directly at powell@unchartedperformance.com. Facebook and Instagram @UnchartedPerformance, and if Twitter is your thing, @ReachUncharted. And give us a follow and tag us to let us know who and where you are. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and talk to you next week. Cheers, guys.